I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading in verse 31 and read down through verse 44. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, this is the word of God. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What's the main point today? Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom. Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom. Now, when we talk about good news, how good is it? It says that Jesus came to preach the good news, that he went around preaching the good news. But is it really good? Well, it is very good news for those who are being reconciled to God. The good news of the kingdom has to do with the fact that God's rule, God's reign, God's kingdom is not going to be shaken. Every other kingdom on earth is going to collapse. The greatest business establishment, the strongest bank, the biggest government, they're all fragile. They're all temporary. But God's kingdom is unshakable. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read in the New Testament of God's shaking all created things so that they collapse. That is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3, the elements are going to melt with intense heat. Everything's going to be burned up. But we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So for those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ, this is great news. Because there isn't any place else where you can find this kind of stability. How would you like to invest in something that's going up, 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 and then it goes down, down, down? Well, anybody who lives long enough to invest will have that experience if they invest in more than one or two things. I mean, it happens. How would you like to be the company, the heir to the fortune of the company that makes carbon paper and whiteout? Okay? Bummer. Somebody invented a computer. All of a sudden now, there aren't a lot of people sitting around typing on Selectric typewriters and needing carbon paper to go in between the multiple sheets of paper that they stick in there so they could make copies. Now, if we want to make copies, we tell the computer how many copies we want to make on the printer, and it just prints them out one after another. And if we want it in color, we can do that right in our home office. I mean, those who were invested in other things that were so successful, suddenly now it's gone. It's gone. In the early days of computers, there was a joke about a guy whose secretary was having trouble with her monitor because it was becoming covered with whiteout. For those of you who are young, you don't know what whiteout is. It was liquid paper. Why would you want liquid paper? Because if you needed to correct something that you had typed, you could put a little dab of this whiteout on there and it made the paper look white where you'd typed the wrong letter. And then you could type over it and it would look okay. Can you imagine that now? We hit backspace. As a matter of fact, many of us have autocorrect, which is really hilarious because if you don't know English, you can come out with some really funny stuff because the computer doesn't know necessarily what word you were going for. They just recommend something, and I see a lot of documents from people who thought that must be it. Let me just tell you something. Everything in this world, except your relationship with God, is temporary. Money? I've got money from other governments. I think I showed some of you probably last year a huge denomination bill from a country in Africa. Was it a billion dollars or something? I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. It was more than a million. I don't think it was a trillion. But it was something absolutely comical. And it was real. It was real. And it was worthless. Because as inflation and hyperinflation took over that country, they just printed more money, which fed the problem, which is what our government is now in the early stages of doing. And I'm being kind when I say early stages of doing. We're living in a world where things fall apart. And God's kingdom is rock solid. You put your trust in Him and you will not be shaken. So for those of us who are trusting in God, the news of the kingdom is great news. It is absolutely wonderful. And furthermore, the news of the kingdom is that you and I can be reconciled to the King. Because folks, all of us, start our life in the position of being an enemy of the King. Not because He is hard to get along with, but because we, by our inherited sin nature, are bent to run from the truth, to run from God instead of running toward Him. And God in His mercy has chosen to come in search of us and draw us to Himself by His Spirit and give us new life. That is really good news. When we could not in any way atone for our sins, when we could not pay the debt that we owed, God sent Jesus to pay the debt. This is very good news about the kingdom of God. So Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom, but I want you to see one more thing. The good news of the kingdom involves Him being the King. You cannot be a Christian and refuse to yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are people who will say you can. All you got to do is believe that Jesus is God the Son. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and accept the free gift of His forgiveness, and that makes you a Christian. No, it doesn't. Not according to the Scriptures. There are going to be many, Jesus said, who will say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this and didn't we do this? Well, yeah, but you see, they weren't really trusting Him. Yeah, but Jesus says, if you love Me, you keep My commandments. You cannot say, I want the forgiveness, but I want to continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. It is not an option. So does that mean that if I profess faith in Christ and then I ever sin again, that I'm not really a Christian? No, it means that if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you want to obey Him. You want to please Him. You want to serve Him. And when you do something that is wrong, God convicts your heart and you say, oh God, what have I done? Please forgive me. Cleanse me. I want to serve You. I want to honor You. But if you think you can say, no, God, You leave me alone. This is my life. I want to do what I want to do. I just want to end up going to heaven when it's all done. Then you are fooling yourself alone. You're not a Christian. So, look in this passage and you see that Jesus, as He's bringing the good news of the kingdom, demonstrates the authority of the King in His word and in His deeds. He demonstrated authority in word and deed. Verse 32, they were amazed at His teaching because His message had authority. Jesus did not talk the way that the rabbis talked. The teachers of that day would say, well, on the one hand, this, and on the other hand, this. Well, what is the truth about this? Well, you know, on the one hand, you got this view, and Rabbi so-and-so says this, and I think we should consider, you know, because both have very interesting points. If you haven't seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof, you've missed a joy. And Tevye is the ultimate example of that approach to life. Here you have a man who's making an argument, and Tevye says, this is true. And another person counters that argument and shows why it's wrong, and Tevye says, oh, this is also true. Someone points out, you can't have it both ways. If this is right, this can't be right. If this is right, this can't be right. You can't have it both ways, Tevye says. This is also true. That's the way that a lot of people live. That's the way they live. That's the way that a lot of teachers teach. I've heard preachers, seminary professors, who take that approach. Jesus, He didn't do that. Jesus just came and told them the way it is. This is it. He spoke with authority. And because He spoke with authority, it made Him different from everybody else. And they were amazed at His teaching because His message had authority. But it was not only authority in His word, it was authority in the way He backed up His words with deeds. And so while He's teaching, He gets interrupted by a demoniac. This person who has an evil spirit and who begins yelling at the top of his voice, disrupting Jesus' teaching. Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Who's talking at that point? That's the demon speaking through that man. I know who you are. Why? Well, because the demons don't die when the people they inhabit die. The demons have been around a long time. They are fallen angels. And those demons know full well who Jesus is. But they are not yielded to Him, though they have to obey Him. They are a picture of what will happen to all of humanity one day when every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved. It means the kingdom cannot be shaken. It means the king has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so this evil spirit that's in this man is complaining about the arrival of Jesus. He's not welcoming him and saying, I hail you as the Son of God. He's trying to get some control in this situation because in the spirit realm, one of the ways in which we exercise control is by calling something by its name. This is built into us because it is part of the nature of things. When Adam was in the garden, God brought all the animals to him and he named them, and whatever he named it, that was its name. That was an exercise in dominion. It was a manifestation of human authority. And what do we do today? Well, on the home front, Johnny, Jonathan Edward Smith. What are we doing? We're getting control. We're exercising authority. We're calling that little entity by its name and demanding that it submit because we know who it is and what its name is, and thereby we exercise authority. It's hardwired into us. And so if you're a scientist and there's some phenomenon in the universe, you can't control it, but you name it. It is the thus and such manifestation or the thus and such syndrome. If you're a psychologist or a medical doctor, you have a name. It's a metabolic syndrome. It is hypertension. Do you feel better now that we know it's hypertension? No, but the doctor does. And you may too, because now you can leave the office. I went to see a dermatologist in Atlanta because my skin was cracking on my hands. He charged me, I think it was $480, to meet with me. And when we first were introduced, he said, what's the problem? And I said, I have this problem with the skin on my hands getting red and swollen and cracking, and I don't know what's causing it. And so he looked at it and took a scraping and looked at it under the microscope and came back, and after a while, he stayed out of the room long enough to take care of other patients. Then he came back and he told me, you have atopic dermatitis. And I said, okay, derma is my skin. Dermatitis means inflammation of the skin. What's atopic mean? He said, it means we're not sure what causes it. So he's telling me what I told him, but he's put it in another language because he's got to pay for med school. Now he feels he's done something. He's diagnosed my problem. What he's told me is, I have a problem with the skin on my hands and we're not sure what's causing it. I told him that. But because he's put it in another language, he can charge $480. Okay, well, I got an education that day. Don't go back. I'm sure there are some wonderful Christian dermatologists out there. But basically, dermatology is a field where your patients never die and they never get well. It's a good racket. It was actually a doctor who told me that. But I want you to understand something. Jesus was dealing with a situation where a demon was trying to exercise some control by identifying that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus' response is to say to that demon, not, wow, you know. You're right. I am the Son of God. No, Jesus didn't need the PR. Jesus tells him to be silent. Jesus does that repeatedly as various evil spirits try to speak of who Jesus is. Jesus silences them. Jesus is not doing this in order to try and get a bunch of acclaim from people. Jesus actually cared about people. And he was meeting the needs of the people in order to demonstrate for them that God loved them and that in God's kingdom, when everything is one day as it will be and should be, there will no longer be sickness. There will no longer be death. There will no longer be suffering and sorrow and separation from our loved ones who are in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is giving them a taste of the kingdom in this life and showing them that indeed it is good news that he is king. It is good news that God has a plan and that he comes to establish his reign here on the earth. So Jesus took authority over this demon, cast it out of the man, and the man, though he was thrown to the ground by that demon, was uninjured. Now, I would not want to have to deal with that kind of thing in a meeting like this. But I'll tell you something. Jesus has all authority. And there's no evil force on earth that can overcome him. There were many who were healed. One of them was Peter's mother-in-law. Yes, the first pope, as he would be viewed by some people, was a married man. Just thought you ought to know. And I know that because he had a mother-in-law. See, right here. Peter had a mother-in-law. Now, you can't have a mother-in-law unless you're married. So Peter was married. So I would just recommend, by the way, if you want to have clergy who are less inclined to having certain kinds of problems, you might allow them to be married, which, by the way, is one of the qualifications that the Apostle Paul gives us in the New Testament for those who would be elders in the church. Go figure. He says, if you want to be an overseer, you want to be a bishop, you want to be an elder, you want to be a pastor, those terms are used interchangeably. You got to be the husband of one wife. You got to manage your children well. That doesn't sound like a single guy wearing a long dress to me, but anyway, it's just me. Hi. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She was suffering from a high fever. And it's interesting what Jesus did to heal her, because he healed many. Verse 39, he bent over her and rebuked the fever. He spoke to the fever as if the fever was somehow an entity attacking her that had the capacity to hear him. Sort of like he spoke to the wind and the waves. When Jesus is in the boat and the storm is so great and the waves are crashing over the boat and they wake him up and they say, "Don't you care, we're going to drown?" And he looks at the storm and he says, "Be quiet!" And you know what it did? Got quiet. Because this is the God who created all things now visiting this planet and demonstrating his power and authority. And he has authority over sickness, and he has authority over demons, and he has authority over nature. He has authority over all things. Beloved people, how in the world can we be more stupid than a fever and a storm? We need to obey him. We need to do what he says. So Jesus healed many. But I want you to also notice Jesus' schedule. Look at verse 40. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. He took time to deal with person after person after person after person individually, starting after sunset. Okay, well, that's nice. So Jesus stayed up late. Yeah, verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The sun's coming up, and Jesus, while everybody else is sacked out, Jesus has gone out. What's he going to a solitary place for? Well, if you want a clue, you can look in the next chapter, verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What was Jesus doing? He was talking with his Father. They asked Jesus on various occasions how he could do the things that he did. Where did you get this authority? When Jesus would answer, he would tell them, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I'm doing what I've seen the Father doing. I'm doing what the Father has told me to do. He spent time with the Father, and that's why he had such authority. He didn't live independently saying, well, I am who I am and I can do as I please. He said, before Abraham was, I am. But he was eternally yielded to the Father. Within the Godhead, there is hierarchy. And Jesus was yielded always to the authority of the Father. When he was facing death, as we sang about this morning in our worship time, he said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was always yielded to the Father's authority, and that's why he had perfect authority on earth. If you want to understand the good news of the kingdom, and Jesus, by the way, brings the good news of the kingdom. Remember? If you want to understand it, you need to understand that it involves submission to the King, yieldedness to His authority. You and I can't live our lives as if we're in charge. We've got to surrender our lives to Him. And as we yield to Him, then we have authority to do what He tells us to do. And that includes authority over evil spirits, over sickness, as we walk in obedience. Pastor Wood, I just want to be clear. Are you saying that if we will really yield our lives to Christ, we will no longer have sickness? No, I'm saying that if you yield your life to Christ, as you walk in obedience, you can do anything He tells you to do. And if He tells you to rebuke the disease, you can do that. And it will be successful. And if He tells you to rebuke that evil spirit or to bind that spirit and cast it out, you can do that. But you've got to walk in obedience. You've got to do what He tells you to do. Folks, Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is here. Because of Jesus, who is here, in this place, you and I can have life abundant, life everlasting. Don't miss out on the good news.